Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Pneuma Global Locations, last week they started a new series called Win Our World, which is a focus on, you know, just reaching out and all of that sort of thing. And we're going to embrace some of that, you know, different locations. We do different things, but we are embracing the thrust of that because so much of that, they produce some great material. How many enjoy Cherie Rice when we get to see her? And she's just so insightful. And so we will be, because it's right in line with a number of things the Lord has been saying to us recently. And how many know God's moving around the earth in incredible ways right now? We're just seeing, I was just talking with the, when we were in the prayer meeting earlier, that I've never seen anything like it. The numbers of people that are gathering in cities all around the world, like thousands and thousands of them just gathering to worship and all of that. So there's no question that God is on the move and reaching out to those that are lost and all of that kind of thing. So this morning, I want to share a few thoughts with you around heaven's strategy. How many know God's got a strategy? And we want to talk about that. And last Tuesday morning, I sat down in my normal Bible reading and I was reading in Isaiah chapter 8. And as soon as I began to read, the Lord arrested my attention with a phrase in the very first verse. In Isaiah 8:1, it says, take a large scroll and write on it. And he was saying to Isaiah, I want you to write down the prophecy as a means of ensuring clear and accurate communication of what the Lord was saying to him about the future. And of course, we see that concept again in Isaiah 30 and verse 8, and then in Habakkuk 2:2, he says, you know, he's up on the walls and the Lord says, write it down. And the Lord began to share with me some things that it reminded me and kind of said that this morning we should just be reminding ourselves of some of the things that the Lord has said to us about this church, but about the Sunshine Coast region. And because it's time now to lay hold on the promises and prophecies, I believe with an increased faith, with expectation, and with intense focused prayer and prophetic declaration. How many know there are times when you've got to lay hold of God for what He wants to do, and it's not about God not wanting to do it, it's about us coming to alignment with what He's saying and doing so that He can bring about in our lives the changes He needs to make in order for us to actually walk in the authority and in the new thing that God is wanting to do. So I want to talk to you for a few minutes about God's promises and prophecies. And don't be worried, we're not going to go late this morning in the service because we've got a sausage sizzle waiting to happen. So stick around. That is very important for us to build some community and family and get to know each other. So don't run away at the end of the service. Stick around. Even if you don't like sausages, we've got something that we can give you. I'm sure we'll find something. But just to let you know, personally, and some of you heard me say this before, when we arrived on the Sunny Coast back in September 2020, right from that time, God was speaking to me about focusing on the Sunny Coast and to draw back from everything we were doing in other cities and nations and all that sort of thing. And He was constantly showing me a picture of revival, the move of Spirit, the fire of God right across the coast. And then what happened was, and you know, that was our personal things. And in fact, you've heard me say, many of you, that for 2 years we were wandering around saying, what the heck are we doing here? You know, it's like, but because God had directed us up here so specifically, but there was nothing strategic that we could see that was happening. And the Lord was saying, forget everything you're doing and just focus on this. And it just didn't seem to make a lot of sense. But in relation to the church, going back on the 28th of August, 2022, that's long before we even had dreamt about planting a church or had anything to do with Pneuma at that stage. But we were at a conference, a revival conference, And a young guy who had no idea about us or where we came from or anything about it, he prophesied over us out of Ezekiel 47, the trickle becoming a river, and talking about supernatural increase. And if you've looked at that passage, you'll find that it goes from a trickle coming out from under the door to waters to swim in around about 1.8 kilometers. Like, it's just crazy, from a trickle. Now, not all of your translations say trickle. A lot of them say water running out from under the door. This young guy, as I said, he had no idea where we were from or whatever, but he began to prophesy that over me in relation to the region that we were in. And like I say, this is in August 22, long before we got involved with Numa and planting the church. But what he didn't know, I'd just been preaching at a church here on the coast the previous Sunday, using exactly those same words in relation to what I felt God was saying his intentions were for the Sunshine Coast. And I particularly like the word trickle to river, because it gives a better concept than water running out of the door. You know, it sort of makes it. And so, being a revival church and the move of the Spirit and all of that sort of thing has been confirmed prophetically numerous times. I'm just going to run a few things by you. January 27th, 2023, it hadn't been announced even to the NUMA staff or whatever that we were planting a church up here. They'd been praying actually for 2 years while we were praying up here, praying about, God, what are we doing here? The executive team had been praying because they felt they were meant to plant a church up here, and they're praying about what all of that. But in January 23, we were down at the staff retreat, and they just announced that we were going to plant the church up here. And a very well-known prophet got us later, and he prophesied publicly over us that the church that was planted would impact the whole Sunshine Coast. And then he went on to go and say, it'll be like Toronto, that people won't come to the Sunshine Coast for the beaches, but for the revival, thousands of people. Now, what he had no idea about was back in 1994, when the move of God was breaking out in our church in Melbourne, that's what was prophesied over us in relation to that church in Melbourne, that we were to be a Toronto for Australia. And for 3.5 years, we were pretty much that, with people coming from all over the place into the revival meetings and that. And so again, it just reaffirmed to me what God's wanting to do on the coast. And I'm not suggesting in this that we are the answer to the coast. We are one of a number that God wants to move in. And one of the key focuses of NUMA is about encouraging other churches and wanting to build the wider body of Christ. It's not about NUMA, it's about the kingdom of God and the expansion of that. It's about the church really growing up and becoming the light and displaying the glory of God wherever we are. And in that same month, in January 23, the Lord said to me early one morning, trust me. And then he said this to me, really trust and let go of the stress of walking in the times of mystery. Now, I felt like when I was preparing this, that for some of you, you are walking in your personal life in a time of mystery. And I explain what that means. God shows us the end from the beginning. He says, I'm taking you there, or he shows you something about your future. But before you get there, you go through a whole lot of stuff that makes it seem impossible for you to get there. How many know what I'm talking about? You see it in scripture, don't you, about David is prophesied you're going to be king, and then he's running from Saul trying to kill him. And you see it with so many in the scriptures. And how many remember that old song, Standing on the Promises of Christ My King? That's what we're going to do, stand on the promises. Now, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 actually brings this out. And God's speaking to Isaiah, he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. How many can say amen to that? There is nothing and no one compares to God. But notice what he says, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things that are not yet done. How many, you see, God is at the end of our life. One of the things the Lord said to me years ago, when I was wrestling with some things he was saying to me, and I'm going, oh God, how are we going to walk into that, you know? And I'm thinking, like, I've got to go out and make that happen. But one morning the Lord said to me, no, I'm not standing, because I had this picture of God standing beside me saying, go do that. But he said to me, I'm not standing beside you saying, go do that. I'm at the end of your life saying, come walk towards me. This is what I planned for you. How many of those? It's a different perspective. And that's what he's saying here, declaring the end from the beginning, ancient times, things are not yet done, and saying, notice this, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure. So he's saying, yeah, it might be ridiculous and you're in this time a mystery, but no, don't give up on that. Don't quit on that. Trust me. Really trust me through the time of mystery and keep proclaiming and praying into the promise and the vision God has given you. I can never remember a day when I didn't feel called to be a preacher. And I can remember, 4 or 5 years, a little bit older than that, actually, probably 7 or 8, having dreams about preaching in front of crowds, and I was in New Zealand, and the only dark people we ever saw were Maori, and I was having pictures of people that were obviously, I know now, African or whatever, and I'm thinking, what, this is ridiculous. But over the years we've seen it outwork. But you've got to keep walking in, got to keep praying, you've got to believe and not quit. And then in December, just last year, in Matthew 21, I was reading through that. And, it's talking about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the donkey, cleaning out the temple, healing the cripples. And the Lord said to me in the middle of it, it was a great commotion. And that's what coming to the sunshine goes. I never thought about that passage as a commotion, but when you look at it, it was a real commotion that he created in Jerusalem. And I felt the Lord saying to me, the presence and power and glory of God is going to cause a great commotion. And I've been declaring that over the Sunny Close and over this church and over our lives, that there's going to be a great Holy Ghost commotion in Jesus' name. How many know our world needs a Holy Ghost commotion? And over and over again, the Lord's confirmed a number of specific things through external prophetic words and promises and different things he's spoken to us here in the church. And I've just listed 5 things, which is very brief, but just can I just encourage you, if you've got a phone, take a photo of the screen. Yep. And remember, these are the things that God has really spoken to us over and over again about us as a church and about the region, that we would be a catalyst for revival across the Sunshine Coast. And I know there are other churches moving the Spirit of God and all those kind of things. I don't mean that in the sense of, oh, we're the answer. We're part of the answer. But this is the call of God on us, that we would be a house of miracles. How many know miracles are normal? Read your Bible. There should be miracles all the time. And just to confirm, let you know something, how many have enjoyed Pastor Jeff when he was with us last weekend? It was just awesome, and his prophetic input was just so accurate. It was incredible. But I can tell you, there's somebody here, have no names mentioned. You'll hear it eventually. But there's somebody here who has been wrestling with a major health issue for many, many years. That's extremely detrimental. And he came for prayer last week, and Pastor Jeff prayed for him. And in the days since, there's been a progressive shift. How many know sometimes God does things instantly? Sometimes it's supernaturally. It's supernatural, but it's progressive. It's not natural. And house of his presence and power, house of breakthrough. How many know we've heard that so many times? How many of us need a breakthrough? I don't know. We always want a breakthrough. There's always more. I want a breakthrough and a more. And a house of harvest. And then 2 weeks ago when Pastor Glenn was here preaching on Sunday, 14th of July, right at the end of his message, it wasn't anything to do with what he was preaching, but I just heard the Lord say when I was sitting there, it's time to take authority over the enemy's opposition and restriction to the growth and impact of the church. And those of you that have been around, you would know that numbers don't really bother me. I'd like to see the place overflowing, of course. But at the end of the day, I know what God said. And I just feel like the Lord keeps saying to me, no, just keep walking it out, keep trusting me, keep believing, the day will come. And just to make something clear, we would never plant a church like we planted this one, or never recommend anybody to plant a church like this. And because when we talk about planting a church, we've always recommended to people and with other nations where we've been involved, it's always been, no, you get a team behind closed doors and lay down the values, the culture, get everybody online, and then open your doors to the public. And I said to the executive team about 6 or 8 weeks ago now, I feel like I'm ready to open the doors to the public. Because what happened, we were supposed to have a team, it didn't eventuate, and there were supposed to be people coming up from Melbourne and all of those sort of things didn't happen. But by that stage, God had spoken to us that we were to go ahead. So, and then those of you may remember that our first interest meeting on a Sunday afternoon, we had 76 people there. On the following Wednesday night, we had another 54. And so we've got all these people hanging around, and I didn't know any of them, pretty much. And so I was, you know, you kind of go, what the heck do you do? Well, you've got to start a gathering. But I feel like now, even though it's a small number, most of us are kind of on board with the culture, the value, and the vision. And I feel like it's time now that we can reach out and begin to, that's where I was, you kind of feeling. But then the Lord, but I've been just waiting for God to make it clear, what's the time? When's the time to sort of push through on this? And it was, you know, like I say, 2 Sundays ago sitting here, and the Lord said he was taking to take authority over the enemy's opposition and restriction to the growth and impact of the church. And numbers have never, as I said, never been a priority, but I believe now is the time to make a priority in prayer and intercession to see the breakthrough into all he has for us. And there were 3 specific things that the Lord spoke to me of: the overall growth of the church, the harvest of souls, and people to serve and build teams. Because one of the things the Lord said to us in December was, there's a breakthrough coming. You need to get teams in place. And I've been going, God, I'm trying to get teams in place, but there's nobody to put in the teams. So if you're part of this place, we really need you to serve and help in some way. Because how many know, when those people start coming in, we need to be able to care for them. We need to be able to nurture them. We're called to make disciples, not just get people to say in the sinner's prayer. No, we do the journey with them, take them on the journey, get them healed up, set free, and all of that. And we do need to take authority over the enemy that comes to oppose and restrict and all of those sort of things, and the demonic spirits associated with whatever's going on around the place here as well, and things that come in. But one of the things the Lord said to me just yesterday very clearly, we need also to believe that what we carry will influence the and determine the spiritual atmosphere over the property, not what other people carry when they come in. How many know, greater is he that's in us than he's in the world? And we need to believe that as we come and worship and call down the presence and power of God in this place, that other people walking in the middle of the week to do whatever they've come to do would be like, oh gosh, this is different. Come on, it can happen. Down through church history, it's happened over and over again, where there's been people that have, you've just gone into a town and people start repenting around them, or get on a train. I forget who it was now in England that used to ride on a train, and people get on the same carriage and they start repenting. They didn't know him at all. How many of you? Nothing's impossible with God. And I just believe that it's we are not to be passive about this. But it's time to rise up and claim and intercede for the promises and prophecies that God has given us with prayer and fasting and so on. And Jesus didn't say, if you fast, he said, when you fast. Fasting should be a normal part of the discipline of Christian life. And what it's about is not about you going without your food. It's about you putting God in a higher priority than our own desires and fleshly things. And I've got to say to you that I don't know. Every time I've engaged with that sort of thing, there's always been a shift in the spiritual atmosphere. There's always been a breakthrough, not always immediately, but following on. And it's about aligning with the things of God and coming into a place where we are exposed to his presence and intentionally pushing into him, perhaps more than we normally do. And he begins to get a hold of all of that. And then, of course, prophetic declaration, declaring and proclaiming what God has already spoken to us. It's actually the prophetic declarations that activate the promises of God. And so we've got a prayer meeting happens here at 8:45 a.m. every Sunday. Used to be 9 o'clock, but then at a recent core team meeting, we decided we'd rather than, and it wasn't my decision, wasn't my suggestion, but we go from 15 minutes to 30 minutes, from 8:45 to 9:15. And can I encourage you, if you're part of the place, or even if you're not, come and join us and pray. Let's believe God for the outpouring of his Spirit across this region. Thank you. At least I, yeah, you're a highlight. Yeah, that's good. in 1 Samuel, on the 1st of July, just a few weeks ago, one morning, the Lord, and I sat down to read as I do, and the Lord said to me, clear as anything, go to 1 Samuel 17. And I thought, I know what that should be, I can't remember. And of course, it's the story of David and Goliath. And there were two or three things that the Lord spoke to me about out of it. But number one was, it doesn't matter whatever the size of the opposition that you face or we face, if we are walking in what God's called us to do, we already have got the victory. The battle is the Lord's. The second thing is that David didn't win the battle by natural means and strategies and processes. You know, they put King Saul puts his armor on him and puts a helmet on and gives him a sword, and he goes, no, this isn't going to work. And he goes out with a sling and a stone, or five stones in his pocket, which is ridiculous when you're facing a giant. That's be, you know, just an impossible. No, we. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit. When you study the words might and power, the one word means by a physical, and actually talks about the power of an army, or at least the might of an army. And in other words, it's not to do with how many of us and how strong we are and what we can make happen. It's not to do with that. Mm-hmm. And the word power means intellectual ability. It's not how smart we are, how wise we are, what we know. Mm-hmm. It's not about any of those things. It's about getting in line with the Holy Ghost and moving with Him. And that's what brings the victory. And as Jesus said in Matthew 16, He's going to give us the keys of the kingdom. It comes through prophetic revelation, what God's promised us. Those are the keys to release the kingdom of God in the earth. And we literally activate those promises as we come into alignment with them through prayer, through intercession, and through prophetic declaration. When we believe that what He's promised is going to happen, when I believe it's going to happen for my life, when you actually believe it's going to happen for your life, and you start to declare it, you start to believe Him for it, you start to pray it in, you lay hold of God. And you know, we are made in the image and likeness of God, and one of the signs of that, one of the realities of that, is that there is creative power in our voice and our tongue. Creative power. That's why the scripture says the power of death and life is in your tongue, and whatever comes out, you're going to eat the fruit of it, you know, so, because it creates an atmosphere, creates a thing, and it releases the prophetic declarations, release and activate the promises of God. And as we come into alignment with Him, and I believe it's time for us to come into alignment with His promises over the region, over souls being saved, and over the intention of God to see this house become a a catalyst for revival. But number two, I just want to talk to you about a heaven strategy, which is the God of multiplication. How many know God is the God of multiplication right from the beginning? You go back to Genesis 1:28. He says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. That's always been God's intention. Take authority over it, take dominion, you know, extend the kingdom. Be fruitful, multiply, bear fruit. And that is about what we are, what we have, what we carry. And that's what revival is all about. God wants to come and revive each one of us. How many know we need reviving all the time? We need lifting up. We need another encounter with God. We need another infilling of the Spirit. We need another revelation. But it's not just for us. It's that we might carry it and impart it into others. How many know all around us there are people who've got tremendous needs? They need revival. They need an encounter with God. They need truth. And multiplication is heaven's strategy. And, you know, Jesus selects 12, imparts to them for 3.5 years, then disappears, and they change the world. It's incredible when you think about it. It's amazing. And I love what happened to Abraham in Genesis 15 and 5. God had said to him, you know, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed through a descendant of yours. And he takes Abraham struggling with it. He's an old man. His wife's an old woman. And you're going to have a son and all that. And I guess he's kind of going, yeah, well, that sounds great, but how the heck's that going to happen? And God takes him outside at night and says, count the stars if you're able to number them, and so shall your descendants be. And I don't know how many of you have ever been in a really clear atmosphere when you see the stars, but I know the first time I was in Alice Springs, the pastor of the church I was ministering in there drove me out of the town late one night, away from the lights of the town, and it's such a clear atmosphere up there. In fact, I didn't know, but there's people come from all over the world that want to study that, and they come in there. And you go out there, and literally the whole sky is just full of stars. You look at it and you go, my gosh, I'll never see them. So Abraham is out there going, count them. How the heck am I going to count them? And God's saying, no, no, that's what your descendants are going to be. Why? Because he's the God of multiplication. And it wasn't by Abraham and Sarah's physical age, but by their faith and their trust in God. Unbelievable multiplications. All the nations of the earth blessed through his descendant. And it was interesting that last week, Pastor Jeff was saying about Abraham and Sarah, and saying that when Sarah first heard, Sarah laughed at it. She's like an old lady. And I guess it would be natural, though what, Abraham is almost 100, and she's in her 90s, and been barren all her life, and it's not going to happen. But it all, and so she has a bit of a laugh at it, but it says of Abraham in Romans 4, 19 through 21, that he did not waver at the promise of God, because he was fully convinced that God who had promised it was able to perform it. And that's the thing for you and I. Whatever promises are over your life, whatever promises are over the church, don't look at the natural. Look at what God is saying, and don't waver. Don't go, oh, this happened, oh, this person went away, or this or that. No, no, forget all that. God's bigger than all of that. Hey, amen. Aren't you glad about that? And he's your father, and he's a good, good father. And the book of Acts, you know, you see the growth of the church there. The supernatural increase was ridiculous. They say within just a very short period of time, the religious leaders are saying to the disciples, the whole of Jerusalem's been filled with your message. You know, they just reached out to so many people in such a short period of time. You see the same thing in Ezekiel 47, the river of God. We were talking about it just the other week. The supernatural increase and going deeper and deeper into the flow, Ezekiel does. And we see the outcome. Wherever the river flows, there's life. There's a great harvest. There's miracles and signs and wonders and all of that sort of thing, just bringing the presence and power of God. And Jesus said to those who followed him, I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In Luke 5, there's an interesting passage there where Jesus has been, there's a big crowd gathered, and he's on the beach, and he sees a couple of boats, and he calls one of them, and it's Peter's boat, and he gets in Peter's boat, and he just pulls it out off the shore of it, and Jesus sits down there and teaches the crowd that are gathered on the beach. And then when he's finished preaching, he says to Peter, come on, launch out into the deep. How many know Ezekiel, that passage is all about going into the deep, getting into the flow, getting to the depth of the presence and power of God and the flow of the Spirit and all of that. So he said, launch out of the deep, let down the nets for a catch. And Peter says, oh, they're professional fishermen. We've been fishing all night. We didn't catch anything. And actually, if you know anything about that lake, you never fish in the daytime. It's relatively shallow. That's why all the fishing records in the Gospels are about fishing overnight. They'd fish at night. And so the idea of letting down the nets fairly close to shore, he does say launch out into the deep and let the net down, and they catch such a number of fish that the net's breaking, and they have to call their mates in the other boat, who happen to be James and John, who are also professional fishermen, and both of the boats are beginning to sink. One of the things I love about that is that when God starts to really move and harvest, we need all the boats. We need your boat. We need everybody's boat. We need the boat down the road and the boat down the street. It's all about one harvest, one kingdom, one body flowing together in the purposes of God. And Jesus says to Peter, because he freaks out over it all, and he says, don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men. He said, no, you've been good at catching fish, so we're going to take that principle and apply it to you and catching men. There's a supernatural harvest. How many know we're all called to be fishers of men? Well, the question is, when did you last go fishing for men? You know the story or the passage in John 7:37 on the last day of the feast, where Jesus says, You know, he's saying anybody who believes in me, out of his innermost being, he's going to flow rivers of living water, speaking of the Spirit. And can I say to you, you are heaven's strategy. The multiplication comes through people like you and me. And I don't know whether I've told you this or not, but when the Lord first began to speak to me about ministry and stuff, I'd always felt like I was meant to be a preacher, but I really struggled because I had no education. I left school as soon as I turned 15 to just help in the family situation. My dad had died, and many of you know that story, and things like that. And so, and the first time I ministered in Singapore, I got off the plane, the pastor picked me up. I get in his car, and the first thing he said to me is, "Where'd you get your degree?" And I go, "I haven't got a degree." He said, Where did you go to whatever it was anyway? And I'd never been there either. I said, I never went there. And you're kind of feeling like, what the heck am I doing here? You know, who am I? How many of you ever felt inadequate? God loves to take, the Bible's clear, the simple things, the things that are not recognized in society, and use them for his glory, because then he gets the glory, because I know I can't do this stuff. It's only as you enable me, see. And we are heaven's strategy. You are heaven's strategy, but you've got to let the river flow. So that means you've got to get in the river and let it flow in. So that, and not just to fill you, to satisfy you, but so that it's overflowing into the lives of other people and touching them, healing them, all of that. It's like in John 4, 35, Jesus says to the disciples, lift up your eyes and see. The fields are already white for harvest. So often we don't see harvest because we don't lift up our eyes. We say, oh, nobody's getting saved, so it can't be harvest time. No, no, lift up your eyes and see, and then get involved. The harvest comes as people reach out and so on. And the disciples, of course, had been into town and they'd been getting something to eat. And the woman that we all know, the story of the woman of Samaria with some history, she comes out in the middle of the day to get water, which they would never do because it's so hot. So it probably means that she didn't want to meet other people. She was trying to get out and get some water because she didn't have much of a reputation and probably no respect. And she meets Jesus and she ends up going back into town and sharing her testimony of what she's already heard, and a whole lot of the city gets saved. And then Jesus stays there for another couple of days. It says there was a whole lot more got saved. And the reality is, we've got to remind ourselves what Jesus has done for us and tell us and share the good news, because there's a harvest waiting. And the question is, why don't people go fishing? Why don't we go fishing for men? Well, I think sometimes it's the fear of rejection, and nobody really wants to know. It's the fear of man. You know, what are they going to think of me? It can be complacency, because we spend all our time drinking coffee with our Christian friends. Or maybe we're just so comfortable with our unsaved friends and just like them and like hanging out with them, but we don't stop to consider that they're going to hell. They're going to a lost eternity. I've been really impacted by that just over the last few weeks, and guilty of it as much as anybody else, that I'm too comfortable with people that are going to hell. Yeah. Not that they're wrong, but that I don't really make the effort I should. I haven't made the effort I should to speak about it and to share what God's done for us. Our lives have been amazing because of the goodness of God. Yeah. And all of that. And in John 21, you know, you see another picture that's similar about after the resurrection, the disciples have been through a bit of a hard time and they don't know what's going on. And Peter says to the others, I'm going fishing. And they go, oh, we'll go fishing with you. And they all go back to what they used to do, back to their old ways. They know they're called to be fishers of men. They've been involved in ministering with Jesus, but they go back to what they're comfortable with. They fish all night. They don't catch anything, which seems to have happened a few times. And Jesus, unbeknown to them, is on the beach waiting for them, and they don't recognize him. And he calls out and says, hey, guys, you caught any fish? And they go, nah, we fish all night, didn't catch anything. And he says, throw the net out on the right side of the boat. And they do, and they catch so many fish they can't pull the net in, and then they suddenly realize, oh, that's Jesus, and they're freaking out. And he displays, he demonstrates again the God of multiplication, and really when he gets them ashore, he's really saying, I didn't call you to be fishermen, I called you to be fishers of men. And then in his grace and mercy, he reinstates Peter and says, you know, do you love me, Peter? Well, then feed my sheep. You love me, Peter? Then feed my lambs, you know, all of that sort of thing. And but to order to catch a great catch, they had to be willing. They had to be obedient. They had to be listening to what Jesus was saying and cast the net out. And I love that throughout the New Testament, it doesn't talk much about fishing with a line. It talks about fishing with a net. And years ago, when we were living in a city called Tauranga in New Zealand with a big harbour, I used to go with some mates and we'd go fishing early in the morning or late in the evening with dragnet. And, you know, so there'd be three or four of us on the net, you know, a couple each end, chest deep in water, dragging this net against the current and catching fish. See, in a net, to be effective with a net, it takes more than one person. And it's a picture of us working together. It's not you fishing with your line and somebody else fishing with their line. It's us together. How many know the old saying that it takes a village to raise a child? And it takes a family to raise a child. It takes a family to reach the lost and care for them and walk with them. And we're to go fishing with a net in partnership. What's that about? Well, it's about life groups. It's about Sunday lunches like we're about to have. No, bring your friends. You know, let's get involved with this thing. It's about teams being involved in evangelism. It's about Alpha. I don't know how many of you are really familiar with Alpha, but anyone can run Alpha. You can run it at your home, invite your neighbors, whatever, and say, hey, have you ever thought about God and what it's all about and where are you going to spend eternity? What's life all about? And it's all there. And it's about us, you know, and sharing Jesus confidently and all that sort of thing. And Wednesday evening this week is Team Advance Discipleship. And I want to encourage you to attend if you possibly can. It's a strategic equipping time in relation to some of this stuff. And Pastor Cherie has developed stuff from Melbourne. I'm not sure. We may end up watching a video of hers. One of the things that happens at the department down there that produces all the stuff often doesn't come out till fairly close to when we need it, and so I'm not quite sure what's coming out. But there's a whole lot of stuff there, and they've got, and I have seen enough of it to know that, you know, they're very strategic in the way they equip and help people, and so we'll be into a bit of that. And it says in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's in you. Always be ready. And it talks about doing it in meekness and in humility, not from an arrogant point of view, but just coming humbly to people and sharing with them, giving them a reason for the hope that is in us. And Jesus came to the disciples when they've been fishing, says, have you caught any fish? And they go, nah. Well, but he tells them what to do, and they catch a great lot of fish. And here's a thought for you. Conversion is found in the word conversation. If you take the A, I think it's, we've got a screen there for that. Oh, we didn't get it up. Oh, if you take the AT out of the word conversation, you end up with the word conversion. It's just a simple process. When you're talking to people, it's about steering the conversation, introducing the thought, sharing your testimonies and the good news of Jesus. And so this morning, on Tuesday morning, there were three things I felt the Lord say to me. Number one, talk about the prophecies and promises God's given us. Number two, just remind people of the strategies of heaven. It's multiplication. It's being fruitful. It's knowing, you know, God's touched us so we can touch others. It's that we've received. There's so many selfish Christians around these days. It's all about bless me, bless me, bless me. And they're going to stand before the Lord and give an account for that. He didn't bless any of us just for us. He blessed us so that we can be a blessing. He healed us so that we can heal others. You know, he saved us so that others can be saved. It's all about that. And the third thing, so we talked about that. The third thing the Lord said to me, and I don't think I've done this before for years, prayer time. He said, then get all the people to pray. And I believe God wants to release faith, and he wants to release a burden for intercession over all of us right now. Because these things will not be outworked until we really start to lean into him and start to believe him for the growth of the house, in souls being saved, in people gathering to help us in all those things, and align ourselves with that, and then lean into it. And it's time now that we take our eyes off, yeah, well, there's not many of us here, and we've been hanging around together for 18 months or whatever. No, not quite, or something like that. You know, it's not about any of that. It's about what God said. He is Lord. He watches over his word to bring it to pass. But he always works with people that are cooperating with him. People that come into alignment with what he wants to do and give ourselves to that.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.